You have won the internet.
Shut up and sit down.
Hello and welcome to episode 62 of Geek Grills, a podcast in which geeky women, and sometimes guests, gather to record topical conversation and then offer it to the masses. The Geek Grills podcast is supported solely by our patrons at patreon.com/grills. I am the Jen, and I am here with my co-hostess with the mostest, September, also known as Nine of 12. Oh boy.
Hello, hell and well met.
It's been 2 weeks. Now I forgot how to podcast. Hooray. Oh, wait. Just
You have not forgotten how to talk, so you'll be just fine.
Are you trying to insinuate that I talk too much? I mean, or not?
Oh, no.
Or plenty?
Just plenty.
Sufficiently? A sufficient amount of talking? That's fair. And we have a guest today, Matthew Malice from the Polyhedron podcast. Well, at least that's how I found him.
Hello, everyone. How are you doing, ladies?
I am fantastic, and we're happy to have you.
I appreciate being here.
So I now Polyhedron, I've been actually listening to it, and that's how I found you when you were sharing your episodes. I think we finally figured out it was through Diamond Club posts, but I know it's an RPG discussion podcast, but tell us a little bit more about Polyhedron.
Sure, not a problem.
And yourself.
Okay. Well, I'm Matthew. I'm 5'6", 180 pounds. Yeah, no. Polyhedron is a, as you said, is an RPG discussion podcast. But it's more than just like an actual play or live play. We actually go into like the nitty gritty of the hobby itself, like the nuances of making a character, being the character, running a game for your friends, running a game for a large group of people, all the sort of myriad little things that involve role playing. We try to talk about, including like video games and live action, that kind of stuff. So we try to hit as much as we can, because I found out that not a lot of podcasts out there actually talk about role-playing as like a full hobby. And so I thought that would be really something cool to bring to the masses, as you all bring something very cool to
that. You know, one thing I really love about that, and I know we'll get into this more, but one of the things I really appreciate about that aspect, we used to have... I had some friends that used to do a podcast that was very similar as far as LARP as a hobby. And it was very much the same thing. There was a lot of podcasts out there talking about things happening in LARP or specific stories happening in LARP, but not a lot actually about the hobby itself. So very cool. And you found, now you found podcasting through Critical Hit, but also Amove, so like Garrett, basically?
Yeah. So my first podcasting was Critical Hit. So that's an actual play from Major Spoilers, and I started listening to them, got knee deep in the weeds of that, and then I for some reason started looking at other podcasts and happened upon the A Green Chicken, which is because I also play Hearthstone, and so from there I got into like Into the Nexus and all the other podcasts at Amove, and sort of like dived headlong into it. And then after about a year or so of that, I was like, I think I can do this myself. I just need a really good idea to like get out to everyone.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, we are happy to have you. I'm super excited to have a good conversation with you today. And so that brings me to the news of the week, or I guess 2 weeks at this point, because again, I do apologize for our lack of episode last week, everyone. And I'm going to take a moment to just to thank our listeners and friends who were kind enough to send me words asking how I was doing. Also wishing me well. I really appreciate it. I am doing pretty much okay. And it was really nice to hear from people. But that aside, what have you all been up to? Ember, what's been going on in your geeky week or weeks?
Yeah, I'm not even looking at the old, I don't remember what I was going to talk about last week. But this week, we started with Part-Time Gamers, the other podcast I'm on. In October, we're playing and reviewing all like spooky games. So we played, and you can probably find that on YouTube now. Oh, no, I don't know. Patrons have it now, whatever. We played Dead by Daylight that I got in the October Humble Bundle, along with some other cool stuff. But that game is hard. really hard.
Yeah, I haven't been able to tackle it because I heard it was hard, and so I've been a little intimidated to start it.
Yeah, it was lots of dying, but that's fine. The guys are, you know, we're all filthy casuals. So we ran around dying a lot. It's pretty gruesome.
This is all like video game
That was
gameplay.
video game. We review video and tabletop games on that show. We kind of
Cool.
alternate back and forth. And recently we've started doing 1 week we'll just podcast, and the next week we'll actually game together and
Oh,
do
that's a neat
YouTube.
idea.
So yeah, that's me and Zacholith and Sean Cyrenex, who I met Cyrenex through Angry Chicken A Move community, actually.
And it's caffeineinducedproductions.com.
It is.
So we're going to give
So
it a
that
little
was,
shout out.
yeah, we've had Sean on the show, so that was cool. And he was all excited. Anyway, what else? I went last night to Big Mama D, who we've all said on the show. Her burlesque this week was dead sexy theme. So it was all music by dead artists. And it was just so great. I mean, of course you could do some old, you know, vaudeville burlesque era stuff because those people are dead, but there were more modern. I mean, there were a couple of Bowie acts. There was Michael Jackson. Oh, just it was a really good show. One of the most profound things was someone did Bowie's Lazarus as she made a beautiful act to that that actually like brought me to tears. I feel like I got closure more than I did for my tattoo about losing Bowie. So that was a thing. Anyway, I recommend burlesque wherever you can find it, folks. Go. And what else? I saw Blade Runner. That was our date night Friday.
Yeah.
Rob used some gig money from his new band that he's got, and we saw Blade Runner. And yeah, I'm okay with that. I have a few little issues,
I have a
but
question. Is this going to be a spoilering episode worthy movie? Yeah.
I think so.
I'd do an
It's
I could
good.
do an episode on it, but I mean, I don't know. I
And
just.
we'll talk offline about it, but I'm glad you got to have a nice date night with a cool movie.
Right? So great.
Oh my gosh. Well, Matthew, what have you been up to? What's your geeky week or
Well,
recent history been like?
just like Ember, I just got to see Blade Runner as well, so I'd be happy to talk about that if people want. I've also been playing Dishonored 2. I know this is kind of old news, but I don't have a lot of time for video games, unfortunately, but I'm trying to get through Dishonored 2, and I'm really having a lot of fun with it. Because my buddies and I are going to try to review it because we also want to play Death of the Outsider, which is the latest Dishonored game, and it's a super fun, great stealth game. So I recommend it to anyone and everyone. I've also been playing Hearthstone, which I've been just kind of grinding out gold because I'm just kind of I love Knights of the Frozen Front Frozen. Ooh, wow, Frozen Throne. But I'm really kind of waiting where I want to see what the next expansion is. And so I'm just kind of saving up gold for that.
Do you play WoW? I just want to ask.
No, not for a very long time. I do not have the time for
Okay.
that.
But you did back in the day.
Yeah, when like at first launch, I was in it through, I think, the first expansion, which I think was Burning Crusade.
That
Yeah, I
is
think.
correct. Yep, Burning
Yep.
Crusade.
Yeah, Burning Crusade, and then I kind of just petered off because all my friends stopped playing, and MMOs can't hold my attention for very long. Like, I don't feel very unique in MMOs because everyone's doing the same quest.
MMOs are a special thing, and I agree with you. I used to be so into MMOs and even into WoW. I've always played WoW, except for like just periods of my time when I just my periods of my life when I don't have enough time. But that's why I don't generally pick up other MMOs. I mean, I'll play them casually, like Ion, or even I casually played Rifts. But the thing is that like it just doesn't hold my attention the way World of Warcraft did. And if I'm going to bother wasting, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say wasting. If I'm going to bother spending free time on an MMO, it's always going to be WoW for me because I just can't commit to another one. It's just too much to try to do it. But I'm with you though. Hearthstone, I don't know why. I really love the flavor of this expansion. I
Oh, it's
love
amazing.
all of that is amazing, but something about the gameplay of this expansion is not pulling me into Hearthstone the way every other expansion has, which has been kind of interesting for me.
Yeah, I got stuck partway through the solo adventure and just kind of dropped off and haven't been playing at all
Me
almost.
too. I always finish the solo adventures, and I haven't finished mine either. But I have been. Oh my gosh! Well, okay. So let's get into my crazy couple weeks. So yeah, surgery happened. It went well, but it sucks. It gave me some time off work, which was interesting. Like I had like 3 days with nothing to do, which I don't think I've had that in like I don't know 2 years. So that was fun. I got to play some video games, which was nice. I actually did re-up my WoW sub, and I went in. Well, actually, somebody gifted me a WoW sub. Shout out to Chris. And I went in, and I'm overwhelmed. So I don't know if I'm even gonna bother with too much because there's just too many things, and I'm already like, I don't know what to do. All the things. Oh my God. I have been getting back into Overwatch though. I've been playing for a couple weeks now, and I'm really getting into it. I'm actually having a pretty good time. So that's been my focus. I've been watching all of the Heroes of the Storm matches, getting ready for BlizzCon, which is now less than 1 month away, and I'm super excited. And then the other thing I've been actually having a lot of fun with is so the dude and I wanted a game that we could play together. That wasn't Overwatch because it enrages him so much. I've been calling it like Angry Watch or Overrage or other various phrases because that's how it goes. Is that we're all having fun until he rages out. No, which I get because I do the same thing with Heroes. So apparently the two of us, that's like our two games that we enjoy, but it's very frustrating. A lot of I love this game. This is a good game. This is a good game. Like too much of that. But anyway, so I had Divinity Original Sin Enhanced Edition that I bought back when it was on a Steam sale. And I started playing a little bit, but then I realized would be a lot more fun if I had somebody else to play. And so it popped up as something he wanted to try, and it was on my list that I owned it already. So he picked it up. And the two of us have been having a ton of fun playing through Divinity Original Sin, which is interesting because Divinity 2 came out, and a lot of people have been playing it. And I'm excited to try that out too, but it's been kind of fun to go back to the first one, and it's really fun. There's story, it's an RPG, but the fact that you can do it as a co-op is really nice. And then the combat sequences are tough though, like it's turn-based, and so it harkens back to like the old Final Fantasy, where you just have to decide what to do and you're working together and you're like, okay, I need you to do this. All right, you're gonna do that. And then on my turn, I'm gonna heal that guy. And then we're gonna try to do this thing. And it's just very complex, but super fun. So I definitely recommend if you like that old school RPG style, it's quite fun, quite fun. So yeah, that's been my lots of video games lately. So with that, I think it is time for the Geek Grapevine. So I'm gonna start with Tony Stark. I mean Elon Musk. Him, as Matthew so rightly put it, as we were going over our news this week. So Elon Musk says he can rebuild Puerto Rico's power grid with solar. Of course he can, because he's Elon Musk and he can do everything and all the things.
I don't know. That man's got some very big ambitions. I'll be very. I hope they do it. I absolutely hope they can help them down there in Puerto Rico. But man, that's a big, hefty thing.
Oh, it's a big job, but you know, Puerto Rico is a mess. You know, I was really listening to this particular story that was being done by on Arizona AZPM. It's our I guess NPR, but local. And it was interesting when they were talking about the debt in Puerto Rico and like how people just don't get paid, like if you work for the government. And that kind of thing was happening in California for a while, where people had furlough days. If you worked for the state, you just were only working 3 days a week because they just couldn't afford to have you work any more than that. A lot of that's happening in Puerto Rico. So they were in pretty rough shape before this happened. And obviously, this being the hurricane, that. And I just want to clarify, people are like, oh, yeah, they really They got the worst of that hurricane. It's like, okay, now let's clarify. That hurricane, the was it was a direct hit to Puerto Rico. The entirety of the island was hit by that earth or that hurricane. By so it's just it's not just a, oh, hurricanes, flooding, whatever. It was complete, total direct hit.
Yeah, it's very different when like lower Florida, southern Florida gets hit. They're very used to hurricane. They have the infrastructure for dealing with hurricane. Puerto Rico, because of all the economic trouble they've had, they don't have that level of infrastructure. So it just got demolished, essentially.
My mom was in Florida, and she was out of power for like, oh my gosh, like 5 or 6 days. It was pretty rough in Tampa Bay. But it seems to me this seems like a really good opportunity for Elon Musk. I mean, it makes sense to do this scale of project because it'll be a ground up. Apparently, their grid was already bad, but it's kind of like, I don't mean to be insensitive, but like it's a clean slate because it got wiped to be able to
Kind of.
build the structure to use this kind of power.
Yeah, it's definitely an opportunity. It just depends if everyone become are good actors in doing all of it.
Yeah.
That we can only hope, as I say,
I'm
as I
feeling
said.
like this harkens back a little bit to Confessions of an Economic Hitman for me, which, if you've never read and you want to read about how we do terrible economic things or financially enslave South American countries, feel free to read that book. It's really good. It'll really make you feel like you could sleep comfortably at night for, it's great. So I agree with you. As long as everybody is a good actor, you totally. But yeah, I'm pretty, I do think it is sad. But I think you might be right. The clean slate aspect of this opens up some opportunities, so we'll see. So Ember, this one's on you. What's this all about?
So I just found out about this because I listened to Drunks and Dragons, and they just published like Monday their version of this. But I didn't know this existed, but Dungeons and Dragons like has its own official podcast, Dungeon Delve. And they did something called Podcasts of Annihilation. So what happened was back in June, they introduced this new storyline. And like it's a new module that you can buy and play D&D. And they had given it like pieces of it to a bunch of streamers that live play on Twitch. And apparently podcast community jumped on and said, "Hey, we want in on that. We play, but it's audio only." And so like Wizards of the Coast sent a bunch of podcasters that do D&D this module, and they, did like these one-off adventures playing it, and you can, go to these different and then D&D, their official podcast is also, I guess, they've published these different podcasts, experiences with it. But I mean, I just came across it because I was listening to Drunks and Dragons, and I was like, that is so cool, man. I wish I had been in on that. Like, I wish I had started podcasting our Sunday night games, Jen, like back when Bizzle was
I
streaming
know,
them.
right?
And he quit streaming them. Like, how cool would it be to be in on this?
Yeah,
So
that's
I thought it
official
was really neat.
corporate.
And we've got a link here so people can go check it out.
Yeah, that's official corporate sponsoring there. That's where everything's going nowadays. That is so cool.
It's, yeah, I mean, that makes me happy.
Yeah, and I wish I could have gotten like Ken up on that too. Ken would have been great for that. His podcast is really interesting. And I love how he tackles that similar content.
Yeah, so now like you
Awesome.
can go to the Dungeons and Dragons website, and there's just right there like a list of podcasts, and I mean it's so good for our community. I mean, Taking Initiative, Encounter, God's Fall, like Drunks and Dragons are right there on the homepage for D&D, and Venture Matings I want to check out. There's like I think
Yeah,
must be a
actually, I have. I've heard a good episode. I heard one episode. I'd like to listen to more. I
yeah.
actually really like them. So, yeah. Well, that's happy, fun news. Let's go with the oh, sad news of the week. So Tom Petty passed away, didn't passed away, and then passed away the other day. That was my
Schrodinger's
emotional.
rock star, yeah.
That honestly, that was really the worst part of it for me. Was that day and how it carried on, because it was just like, oh, he passed away. Nope, that was false news. Nope, it wasn't actually false because there's no do not resuscitate and there's no brain activity. It's like, oh, like what
So it's
is
gonna
going
happen,
on?
you just have to wait.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Exactly. And that just made it really hard. But anyway, all that summed up, yeah, Tom Petty of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers passed away at 66. I know he was taken to the hospital and there was no brain activity, so I decided to take him off of life support. And that's where he passed away at the UCLA Medical Center. He just went into cardiac arrest. It's unfortunate.
Yeah,
I'm
just had a
pretty
massive heart
sad.
attack.
It's sad. It's a really that's a big one. I'm not a huge Tom Petty fan, but I think anybody who likes music on some level can appreciate and respect Tom Petty.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, for me, Tom Petty, the most important thing that Tom Petty did to me, for me personally, was launch or at least kick Stevie Nicks into her solo career, which I will be forever grateful for. So I guess that's probably where my relationship with Tom Petty is. But yeah, I mean, amazing musician. I think Amber, you probably, I mean, I don't know how you feel, you were how big of a fan you were, but I know you definitely liked his
Yeah, well,
music.
I mean, I'm old, so I mean, I grew up with a lot of Tom Petty, but it's not music I listen to now. Other than, I mean, I also, as y'all know, I'm always going to open mics. My husband's a musician, and locally, there's a lot. I mean, Last Dance with Mary Chain, I think, is played, three times a week live in Statesville, at least. My kids
That's
didn't
true.
know any Tom Petty. We're naming off songs, and it was like hard to believe. I mean, our 16-year-old, like, we heard this song and this song. And he's like, nope. But thankfully, I was able at least to give my younger boy an education because he's taken a liking to Coverville recently. And Brian Ibbett did an amazing job curating Tom Petty Memorial Coverville last week. And my son and I listened to podcasts to and from school when I take him, and I was like, this is a great opportunity. Now he will learn some of the music and the history and enjoy it because, I mean, getting it in covers or Petty doing covers kind of gives a context that I thought was a nice, rich way to share that with my kid.
Yeah, I know who Tom Petty is because he had a resurgence in the 90s, and Last Dance with Mary Jane was obviously a very famous song, and so I knew some of his music. So that created it sort of a, it didn't impact me probably as strongly as you, but I definitely felt like we lost another great artist.
And I just want to follow up on Ember's statement about the whole about Coverville. Brian Ibbett always does an amazing job. And if you don't know what Coverville is, it's a podcast he does where he plays cover songs and cover stories, you know. And it's really he'll have a theme or whatnot, and then if somebody passes, it's a major musician, important musician, he'll do a memorial episode. And this one in particular, he always does great work, but I think Brian really brought it home on this one. So I'll include a link. Check out Coverville if you haven't. And if you were in any way a Tom Petty fan, you'll probably really like this week's episode. It was really incredible. So definitely check that out. So let's go back to some happy fun news. I've only been asking for this feature for 8 years, Blizzard. Thank you for finally giving it to me. So Blizzard announced the new social features. And literally, I was bitching about it again when somebody was like, "Hey Jen, did you see the news this morning?" And I'm like, "No, I didn't." So social features now available in the beta of the Blizzard Battle.net desktop app. So for if you play any Blizzard games, you probably know there's the launcher that you have to use. And that launcher now makes it really easy for all your friends to see you all the time and to know all the things that you're doing ever, forever, always. This is great. However, it can also be obnoxious because sometimes you just want to get in and play a game of Hearthstone and not have everybody and their mother join your game or want to play with you or spectate you or want to whatever. Or you want to get into WoW and you want to run around and you just want to grind and listen to a podcast. You don't necessarily want to hang out with your homies. Sometimes you just need a minute. And it has always frustrated me that everybody has to know my WoW or any of my Blizzard game activity all the time. So now we have the ability to create through the social tab in the new beta battle.net, which by the way, the link has instructions of how to access the beta battle.net if you're not using it. I've been using it for some time because of the whole Facebook live streaming that I tried a while back. But if you're not using it, you can switch to the beta version to get access. But you get a social tab now where you can organize groups, profiles, avatars, and then you can appear offline to your friends. Thank God.
Freedom.
Oh my God. And again, it's not that I don't appreciate my friends, but I have 200 people on my friends list. On any given time, there are 50 to 60 people online playing games, actively online at Blizzard at any time, because I keep my list very, I don't have room for people that I don't actively play games with. And we have so many games, because now I play WoW, I play Overwatch, I play Hearthstone, I play StarCraft, I play Diablo, and then pretty soon I'm going to be playing Destiny 2. It's like, hello, like I need to have sometimes a little bit of gen time. So thank you, Blizzard. Oh my God, it took long enough. Holy crap. But yes, we have it now. Now, the only thing I need next, Blizzard, is if you're going to have me have friends across all these bajillion games that you have, please, for the love of God, increase the cap. We used to have a 100 friend cap. Now it's 200. All right. That means that I can only have, it's not enough. Give me more friends. Like, if you're going to open this part up, give me like 500 friends. Give me 1,000. Really? Who the fuck cares? Like, does it really matter that much to limit our friends? Like, I don't get that. But anyway, rage done. Yay, appear offline. Boo, I have too many friends. And this is a total first world gamer girl problem. I know. But it's okay.
I've never reached cap. You're so popular.
No, it's not that I'm popular. It's that I fucking hang out on Dill's stream and then I get all of his fucking people. No, I mean, it's Dillionaires. It's Diamond Club fuckos. I mean, just the other day, I had three Diamond Club fuckos that are like, hey, let's play games together. And I'm like, I want to. Hold on. Let me see what I can delete off my list. And now I'm at the point where they've got Facebook integration. So my real life friends are finding me on Blizzard now. And I have to make a tactical decision of whether or not I want to delete somebody who I know on the internet and like playing games with for somebody that I know in real life that I may or may not ever actually play games with. Like, that's a shitty decision. Ugh. Mm-hmm. All right.
I got a question about that.
Yeah.
You guys may know this better than me.
Yeah.
Can you make like folders and groups like in the Blizzard? Like,
now you can.
Okay.
Now you can. You couldn't before. You only had favorites or everybody else, but you could always right click and add a note, which is what I had to do because I had so many people that I had to do that so I could know who I could delete to add somebody new. So now I have the ability to make folders, which is making my life much better. So as of now with this new social tab, you do have the freedom to make, to actually make groups, and because people can edit their profiles now, it makes it a little bit easier to figure out who somebody is, especially if they change their Blizzard name. Yep. Because maybe you know them as like Jim Bob number one forever, and now they're like the tyrannical Jim Bob the 17th, and you're like, oh, who's this guy? Like that. So now that makes life a little bit easier.
No, that's good. That's good.
I don't know who Jim Bob, the tyrannical number.
We don't offend against the Jim Bobs of the world. But.
Right, basically. Oh my God, this spill is ridiculous.
And it looks so gross.
It looks so gross. It looks like a dinosaur leg like got cut off and it like is exploding everywhere.
I thought. Actually, that's honestly what I thought. I was like, did somebody just like cut a cow in half?
Like, right? It does. It looks like an insides. All right. So spaghetti sauce goes flying in the latest Arkansas highway food spill. Oh, God. Oh, geez. A truck driver distracted by a GPS unit crashed near the intersection of 278 and Arkansas 24 in Camden. Early Monday morning, spilled a truckload of spaghetti sauce. Oh, boy. It's like just cans of spaghetti sauce. Holy crap.
Oh, and look. Look, I didn't even catch the caption. Oh, there's a bourbon balloon. It happened the same month as that pizza one that we talked about, but apparently also a tanker of bourbon spilled that month. We missed that one.
Oh man, that sounds like a good time right there.
I know. We should have added that one to our booze. We had the booze list. Apparently there was more booze than we were aware of that spilled that week. Gross. Yeah, this one's really gross. Click the link, look at the picture. That one's nasty. Oh boy. Ugh, gross.
He was distracted by a GPS unit.
I know. Like, also, how distracting is a GPS unit? It literally talks to you. I guess maybe he was probably trying to reroute or find a new direction.
AKA, he was texting.
AKA, I need a better excuse than I was texting, reading, or playing video games while driving. Yeah, exactly.
But I blame Siri.
I blame Siri. How dare you? Yeah. Wow, that's a gross looking one. Good one. Well, I hope they clean that one up pretty good. Oh God, so much spaghetti sauce. Gross. Ugh. All right. So, yeah, that was a fun one. To the main topic today, which is basically just talking to this guy.
This guy. Thanks.
So glorious, glowing introduction.
The world's most impressive introduction by the world's most impressive the gen. I have to be honest. I actually pursued you randomly because I was somewhere, and I think we did again. We finally figured out it was in one of the Diamond Club Discord channels. You had thrown out something about your show, and I popped it on. I listened to it, and I was like, "Wow, this is really a fun time. I kind of like these dudes. Like, these sound like dudes I'd like to hang out with, and I like to listen to podcasts by dudes and dudettes that I would like to hang out with." And so I hit you up and said, "Hey, let's get you on here so you can tell our people about what you guys do on your podcast. It's really fun." So I know you mentioned a little bit more about the podcast that you're doing, and I guess the one question I ask is, what the heck got you into it? Like, how I know you mentioned, like, "Hey, okay, I was listening to the podcast, I should be able to do this too," but putting it together with a group of friends, like, how did you guys all decide to get together and do this whole project?
That's a bit of a story, and I will get into that. But let me first say thank you very much for that introduction. Can't see it right now, but I'm actually kind of blushing, because I have worked very hard to try to get the show where people will start recognizing and have a good time with it, because that's what I want ultimately. And so I really appreciate that. So let me say thank you right now.
Oh, absolutely, man. No, I we're share the love people. Ember and I are all about, if we hear something we like, we want people to check it out. And like I said, I think what is the old line, right? People come for the content, but
Stay for the host.
they stay for the
Totally.
host. And yeah, absolutely, you guys are really engaging.
Cool. But as for the story, your original question, how it got started was, I'm actually part of a company called Headcanon Games. You can go to headcanon.com, which is with one N, by the way. We're a gaming company, and as a way of sort of drumming up some sort of an audience and sort of like get ourselves out there, as well as like try to see if I could actually do this podcasting thing, I made Polyhedron with my friend. But me and my friends, our biggest sort of thing that connects us together is role play. In Atlanta, there's a lot of role players, and we're a very tight-knit community. We like literally there's like 2 degrees of separation between all the gamers of the major Atlanta area. And so it sort of that was the thing we could talk about. That's the thing we knew intimate, that we knew a lot about and had a lot of experiences with. So I knew I could harness that and have a cool conversation with some really good guys together. So that's kind of where I saw our show going, and where we could go out and sort of talk to our audience, hopefully eventually, about their experiences and the things they've learned and how sort of best practices to have. So that's really how I got into it. Obviously, I admired the Amove people over at Angry Chicken, Dills over doing his thing, but also found like the Diamond Club people, and I got really inspired off of Justin Robert Young and Brian Brushwood. They're all really great people and have really, really good quality podcasts. And so that sort of just spurred me on and got me through the hump of like learning the technology, learning how to edit, learning how to distribute, and then also learning how to advertise podcasts. So that's, and now I'm here on your show, which is fantastic.
See, and that's how it goes. I love it. And I love these. I know I'm about it. I know we've talked about it time and time again, how much we really appreciate Amove, Frog Pants, Diamond Club, and just the openness of these communities and the fact that everybody is happy to help other people. I mean, Jury has been super cool to me. So way before Jury decided he was going to be streaming and like quitting his day job, I was in a channel and people knew that I was a mod on Dill's channel. And all of a sudden, people were like, "You should make Jen a mod because you don't have a mod yet." And it was when he just first started his Twitch channel. And so now I became a mod. And it's really funny because I go in there now and people are like, "Why are you a mod in Jury's channel?" And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know.
But it's so fun. I mean,
But
like
it's
last
great.
week, I was watching someone else, I think Illuminati at Hearthstone playing, and he noticed Dills came on, and like he was like, Dills is on, and we're trying to get him to play Quiplash, so you have to go there, because then he will. And like they dragged me over to Dills' stream so that he would play Quiplash somehow. That's my thing now.
No, it's so fun, though. And like, you know, the Diamond Club guys doing the game nights after Night Attack on Tuesdays and then mm-hmm. Friday nights. If you're ever just, by the way, those are open for anybody. We're always having people, and I'll provide links again, but W. Scottis has been doing it on Friday nights, and Tuesday nights have been rotating a little bit. Bad Weave got a new job, and so things are a little bit crazy as far as his schedule goes, but, you know, it's just fun to hang out, and I think, you know, it's funny you talk about, like, the 2 degrees of separation amongst gamers in Atlanta. It's like the 2 degrees of separation amongst anybody who interacts with any of those three communities. Like everybody knows everybody.
And that personality thing, along with the, like just the supportiveness of the community. I mean, that's how we met and started, felt like we could podcast. And now the same thing has happened to you, Matthew. Like those hosts make you feel like I can do that.
Yeah. They feel like your friends. They feel like your buddies. They like, oh, if this guy can do it, I can do it. What separates me, them from me, as it were?
And so how did you settle on, if I can ask, your, you know, what topic you were going to cover? Because I know with us, at least, that was always like, we separately each wanted to do it, but we didn't know what to do. And it took us gaming together and getting really drunk to just go, screw it, we'll just go for it and be geeky women. But you have a more specific focus. And so I'm interested in how you came about that and chose that with your friends or whatever.
Well, I mean, as I said, our common language was role playing, right? So that was the main focus of the show. But then, like, every topic sort of every 2 weeks to every 2 weeks was basically like, what aspect of role playing have we not talked about yet on any real deal? We're actually over a year, almost 2 years in now, and so we're actually getting to the point where we're like not having a hard time, but we are trying to focus and get a little more specific with some of our topics. We're also doing a lot more interviews, which is actually, I think, where the show is going to start going much more towards, if we can sort of support that level of work, is doing more interviews, because very interesting to hear the back end of things when people develop role-playing games, like what goes through their mind, what challenges do they face, and what do they determine is them being successful. So as for how we actually figure out what our topic is, it's really just us shooting the shit with each other, going, hey, what would be a cool topic to talk about this week for about an hour?
I think all podcasters, we live in a little bit of fear of running out of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, they can.
But then it never seems to actually happen. It's funny because like we totally did too. And I was like, Ember, our list is almost empty. We're out of list. I'm freaking out. I don't know what's going on. I don't know where we're going. And then all of a sudden, like, she and I just separately spent like one kind of day where throughout the day we kind of threw stuff together, and then it was like, oh my gosh, you have all kinds of more stuff to talk about.
Well, and the guests and the interviews, just like Matthew said for his, that really helps, I think.
Oh yeah. I love it.
And that's actually a cool thing you guys do is it sounds like you have a guest pretty much every time you record every episode. So,
or at least every other. Yeah, but yeah.
That helps a lot. That helps a lot. That helps give you a little extra wiggle room to sort of feed into the content creation, which is a big part of like the anxiety of kind of coming up with an episode, right? You got to fill airtime.
And it gives us a chance to like I said, I think Ember and I, we are almost obsessive about our desire to share things that we like with other people. We're just those kind of people. We're like, we want you to know about this cool person because we know this cool person and they're cool. So you should also know about them. that's our way.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. If that's your guys' niche, go with it. That's if you guys are sort of the spreader of cool content, do it. Because some people are really, really good about creating original content. Other people are really good about disseminating that content and talking about it. So yeah, if this is what you guys are, do it.
I've been really surprised by some of the people that we've had on and just conversations that we've had. You know, that's a good question too. You know, there have been a lot of surprises that have come from doing the podcast, in general. And I guess as a podcaster yourself, you know, there's obviously that. What has been the biggest surprise for you in this in taking on podcasting? What kind of caught you off guard with it all?
That's a good question. I guess the biggest thing is how slowly it takes to get an audience. Unless you've got like a lightning hot topic with like really good quality content, it takes time.
Like the angry chicken starting right around Hearthstone starting.
They also into the Nexus. They
absolutely hit
when the iron was absolutely hot and they had a hyper focus. Plus, they were all very experienced before they even went into that.
Dills was on the instance. Yeah, Joss was doing Gamer's End, and then Garrett had done his StarCraft podcast and his tour podcast before, and he was on the instance as well. Yeah. So
Garrett had already done like StarCraft podcast, and so they had already like had experience getting into it. And so they were able to pull all that skill together right at the right moment and sort of really ride that wave, which is really fascinating if you want to think about it. Yeah, but just being persistent and trying to keep committed to a schedule and just making sure you got stuff for people to listen to. Because it can get a little daunting because life gets...
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think we've seen that a bit. I know that our listeners have sadly had to do the challenges of the Jen's schedule these days, and life just being real magical. But you know what? I think it's as long as you are putting something positive out there, I think that you're always going to find that listener base. And I think the other thing too is just to keep doing it. That was the one advice that Jules always gave us and gave me, which she does the Torn Think Tank, and I have a lot of respect for her as a podcaster. And her whole thing is, you know, I was nervous, like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready yet. I mean, I need to like make sure we have the right topic. And she was like, no, just podcast. Just do a podcast. And then 12 episodes later, you're a podcaster. And then you're going to start to figure out where, because after about 10 or 12 episodes, you're really going to figure out where your direction is. And then you might be surprised by where it is, but you go with it. You go with what's right. You go with what feels good. Now, I have to ask, because you guys did, and I'm really sad I haven't listened to this episode yet. But I know you guys are talking about the alpha slice of Vampire the Masquerade 5th edition. Is that right? Am I saying that right? Why am I saying
It's the alpha, it's the official alpha, alpha now.
Yeah, it's the official alpha now. That's right. It's not the alpha slice anymore. It is 5th edition. God, I had to double check that though. I felt so old for a second.
Yeah, V5. Always remember V5.
I know, it's weird. I don't know. It's so much. Have you guys, so it's funny that you mentioned Atlanta being such a like a gaming community. In the LARP that I was in, the big LARP organization that I was a part of, and still kind of sort of am, just don't have a game here. Atlanta has one of the biggest Camarilla Vampire games in our org, and that is still going strong. Have you guys only tabletop Vampire the Masquerade?
No. I'm a very old Camarilla member. Okay. I was
so like Cam Fan Club.
Yeah, I was part of that when I was like 17, 18. Mm-hmm. So in into my 20s, my membership has long since lapsed, but I there's a couple other org plays. We do underground theater right now.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me?
No.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay, so all right, small world, like I said, two steps removed from everything. Yeah, the underground theater guys are guys that I used to game with in the Midwest, the guys that started UT. because I used to be in Little by Night. Where I played. But yeah, that's really cool. I was curious because I've been sadly in a, apparently Tucson is a LARP, a LARP free zone. There's a lot of tabletop activity here, but it's the one place I've lived, that I can't really find a good LARP at. People just don't LARP here. It's very strange. I tried to start it. People just, you get a couple people, but never really any follow through. Not with any org, not with indie games. I haven't tried indie anything at all. Nothing, but it's interesting. I love. It's interesting going from, because that has forced me into being a tabletop gamer again. I started with tabletop when I was a kid because I lived in the middle of nowhere and we had nothing else to do, so we tabletoped. And then when I moved to like real towns, I got to start LARPing. And now it's funny because now I'm in a LARP free zone. I'm going back to tabletop and actually finding tabletop in like a whole new way because I'm playing things like Pathfinder and D&D, and I'm actually had never really played much D&D before ever. So that's been a whole new adventure for me. I think that Ember's question here is going to be really relevant. So I'm going to let you take it here, Ember, because that's absolutely where I'm headed with this question.
Which I
Your
want to ask
favorite
you, like, do you
games.
have favorite, what are your favorite games? And I'm curious about any new ones, like in the process of making the podcast and deciding you're going to talk about role playing in this particular aspect, or like what kind of cool new games have you found in that process?
Okay, so favorite game, it's really hard. There are some I have a great fondness for, but I would not call them my favorite.
I mean,
I'm
because
gonna
I know
say
Jen and I are both, as you guys were talking, you could tell, I really love the White Wolf system.
oh, I love the stories. I just love lo the lore and all. So good.
I think the lore is of White Wolf is one of the best that's ever been written, in if you want to take the long, very long view of it.
And
But
it
I
lets
think
you play with themes that other games just don't let you play
oh,
with. And it's so all-encompassing.
it was definitely the first sort of game that tried to say, hey, role playing is not just about swinging swords at dragons and getting the girl or the guy and getting loot and experience. This is about, hey, you live in a world that's dark and there are dark consequences for your dark action. You need to understand that. We're going to start dealing with subject matters that your parents don't want you to talk about, and but you need to talk about them because it's important to talk about them. Because if you don't, you won't have the vocabulary you need in order to express yourself when you need to.
You know, it's such a really powerful way of describing it because I've said this before on the podcast, so it's no surprise to those who have listened to us before, but I often talk about how LARP has helped me as an adult human interact better and
A
even
real
just,
adult human.
yeah, actually perform better at my job, actually perform better as a person. And in some ways, maybe it's not so much just LARP as much as it is LARP in that type of a world where you have that freedom and that opportunity to play with topics and concepts that sometimes you're right. You do need to work through those topics and those concepts. And it's better to do that in a safe space where it's a fantasy world rather than doing that in an actual sense. And that's where I think a lot of times with video games, we see some of the same thing. Where you're playing through a concept or a story that kind of can change you as a person. And good books and good movies can do that too.
Well, I think RPGs in general are that kind of exercise for a lot of people. Well, if you got into them, like a lot of us got into that when we were in our teenagers and stuff.
Oh,
And,
yeah.
looking at archetypes and personality traits and kind of experimenting with them at the same time you're figuring out who you are. I think RPGs can be incredibly valuable in deciding who you are. And that's why I love those games.
There is on a recent episode of Polyhedron, we actually linked an article, a cracked article that actually talked about the use of role-playing games not only in rehabilitation for convicts or former convicts, but also in therapy.
Oh,
Actually using
sweet.
D&D to say, hey, why don't you play this character? Like a therapist, I believe, used D&D because she had some queer and transgender clients that needed help expressing themselves. And so you're like, okay, I want you to role play this character. And they would role play that character, and that gave them sort of the training wheels they necessary to come out to their parents and their loved ones and really sort of embrace who they really are rather than trying to sort of machine themselves into being what people thought they needed.
Ooh, what episode is
I
that?
love it. I love it.
I will pull it up and I'll happily give it to you guys so they can have it in the
Perfect.
show notes.
Yes, we'll definitely link to that because that article and that episode may be really interesting to I can already think of several of our listeners that I know personally that would really love to check that out.
Because that's sort of a background motto that I have in role playing. Give you a little more deep history of Matthew here. I use role playing as an escape because school was not the kindest to me. So I found my friends through role playing. I learned to be a better person through role playing. And I believe if you do it correctly, because you can do it incorrectly too, if you do it correctly, you can learn so much about who you are and what you want to do in this life through role playing that I think it's necessary for people to try. So that's my motto in the background when I talk about role playing games, and I'll happily link all this stuff to you for you guys, because I think it's important that people realize that role playing, I hesitate to call it an art form, but there's a measure of art to it.
Oh, you know what? Running after running LARPs, I feel there is definitely, I would definitely call it an art. I mean, I used to run a game for 40, for sometimes as many as 40 players. I would come down and pretend to be anarch vampires. And you know what? There was an art to handling that group of chaotic, but also super engaged players. And I love it. I miss it. That's probably one of my, if I could think of like all my gaming put together, I think the, my most fulfilling was running that game. And just the joy and the fulfillment I got after out of creating a world. And then like, why it sounds kind of like minion-y to say it, but then watching my players enjoy it, but no, like watching them interact with that world and what they choose to do with it is just absolutely fascinating. So yeah, I'm super glad that you guys have put together such an interesting podcast. And I think I really hope we can get some more people checking it out. And I hope you guys continue to do what you're doing, because I think there's obviously passion there. There's obviously good rapport between you guys. So it's really awesome work you guys are doing. Super stoked on it.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Yeah. No, I think I would always like to remind everybody, if you chime in, ask questions. I can also get questions to our guest. You can email us at geekgirls@gmail.com or give us a ring at 508-474-5577. And yeah, we are more than happy to let you join in on the conversation. With that being said, I hope you feel like you've been properly marinated, as you are about to get grilled.
I feel glazed. I feel glazed, everyone.
Oh, good. It's a nice soy glaze. Yeah. I don't know, maybe a spaghetti sauce glaze even. gross.
Marinara, whatever.
Marinade. God, gross. I think that's a show title. Can you put that down? As I'm typing, I'm like, and there it is. So I'm going to give you a series of rapid fire questions.
Sure.
The first thing that comes up at the top of your head. So we're going to keep it real easy. We're going to start nice and simple. What is your favorite color?
Green.
Oh, nice. And what did you want to be when you grew up?
Originally a marine biologist.
Oh, that's so random.
Now okay. I want to be a podcaster.
Me too.
Oh, except not growing up.
Except not growing up, exactly. Yep. If you could choose to stay a certain age forever, what age would it be?
31.
Oh, good one. All right. And what's the first thing you remember buying with your own?
Comic books.
Oh, nice. Okay. What were your comic books that you listened to as a kid? Side question.
X-Men. That was literally
a book
nook near me, and I found like old like 1980s comic books, and I just started buying them.
Oh, so good. Love it. And what was the best or worst gift you ever gave or received? Have you ever given or received?
Okay, the worst gift I ever gave was a gift for a white elephant. It was like a couple like bound graphic novels, but they ended up coming right back to me because I wanted them. I was being a terrible person.
So basically you just put them in there so you could have them. Fantastic.
Yeah, kind of. It was bad. I was a bad person and I apologize for it.
If you could be immortal for a whole day, what silly thing would you do?
Oh, and
or not silly thing. I mean, whatever.
Wow. That's a tough question. If I could be immortal for an entire day, but I'd have to make sure not to do anything too stupid or I would die the next day.
That's true.
Because of the consequences of my actions.
Die the next day. A Matthew Malice story.
as silly as it would be, I'd probably eat a whole crap ton of ice cream. Like, if I can't die from all the ice cream, I'll just eat all ice cream all day.
All right. Favorite ice cream flavor then?
Mint chocolate chip.
Yeah. Dude, you and I are like homies, man. We could like hang out. I think that's cool. I'm down to be friends. So what's your favorite number one song right now? What's your jam right now?
Oh, crap. Oh, you had to do this, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
So my musical tastes are all over the place, but I can direct people to, I'm a synth wave guy. I like retro. I like retro wave, synth wave. So the Blade Runner soundtrack's been kind of running around in my head.
All right.
There's a couple really good tracks on the new one that is a little more bassy than the original Blade Runner, but it's got some really good tune.
So people should check out the new soundtrack,
yeah,
huh?
It's there's the title, I think it's called The Seawall, which is towards the end of the movie, has a really good just like action oriented moment of
Nice.
sound that I just really enjoy right now.
I can respect that. It was funny. I just reacquainted myself with the first Matrix soundtrack, which was one of my
Oh
favorite
yeah.
CDs when I was in high school, was the Matrix, the first Matrix movie soundtrack. And there are just certain movies, if they have a really strong soundtrack, I can really enjoy. So I'll definitely be checking that out for sure.
Yep.
Well, that being said, grills and new honorary grill friend, what's up on
Yay.
deck? What are we anticipating right now? Ember, what's up for you?
I am gonna head over to my comic store and nag them more because he didn't respond to my Facebook message. But I'm gonna try and get the Critical Role comic. I want it in paper real bad. I'm really excited that's a thing that happened. It's Dark Horse, I believe, so cool bonus.
I love Dark Horse comics. They're the ones that did the WoW comic before the last expansion. They just do some good stuff.
Yeah. And I've been working on my Halloween fairy godmother project that I do every year. So I've
Oh,
actually made a
that's right.
spreadsheet now because I have costumes left over from last year. I've got a couple people who've brought me things. I can't get the finalized list from the shelters. For those of you who don't know, for the last, I don't even know how many years now, I just one year it occurred to me, everybody goes over to the shelters and feeds everybody at Christmas, right? But Halloween, I mean, they have little kids, right? So I called my local shelters and the women's shelter, and they get me a list of how many kids and what ages they are and genders and stuff. And I round up costumes. And one year, a couple of years ago, when the economy got really bad, there were so many kids. There were like, I don't know, 30 kids or something between the two shelters. And so I got some local people to help me. Somebody gave me some money, so I actually got them like trick or treat bags as well. And so I've kind of become the Halloween fairy over there. And now I had to buy bins last year to store leftover ones because I got enough costumes last year that the kids were able to actually make choices as well as just making sure they had something. So it's kind of, I'm really excited. Now I made a spreadsheet. I'm trying to be all organized about it.
I got a lot
That's
of
so
friends here that would.
awesome.
I get a lot of friends here that would love you because they love Halloween so much. They
Yeah,
absolutely
it's the
adore it.
best.
They're little
It's a good
Halloween
idea
fairies
and it's not
themselves.
hard. And I mean, I would,
Yeah.
anyone out there, I would, if steal the idea. It's a good one and I'm really happy it occurred to me one year. And I'm gonna do it for the rest of my life, I think. But call your local shelter and see what kids, how many kids they have. And you can go to Family Dollar and get decent little costumes for like $5, right? And just make sure the kids can go trick or treating. And then that's something they can keep, from a difficult time in their life, making
And
memories.
it's a memory. It's just a memory. That memory that they can have, and probably why this speaks to me so much. I'm on a history of Jen story. But I will say, the one thing that I remember growing up super, super poor was my mom always took the time every year to make me a costume. And I have memories of every single costume that I wore at Halloween. And, even when stuff was tough, like that was it. That was, like you said, making memories. So I love it. All right, Matthew, what's up on deck for you?
What is up on deck for me? Stranger Things 2, absolutely, 100%, cannot wait. I want to see what happens with those kids, man. They're gonna be busting some ghosts, I promise.
Right?
Yeah. And also the bigger thing, since I just got to see Blade Runner, I've got to see Thor Ragnarok. That thing is, I fell in love with the trailer the moment it came out. I'm there Thursday night, popcorn, Coke in hand. That's what's gonna be me.
Yep, me too.
And that brings me to what I'm going to be doing.
Yeah, go
Lots of
ahead.
that. Oh yeah, I'm going to be pretty excited about, like, let's see, what do I have right now? I have Stranger Things 2, season 2 definitely is on deck for me. Destiny 2 comes out later this month. I'm excited about that. The Walking Dead, the new season is coming up very soon. So I've actually been rewatching it. I've actually been forcing it on the dude as well. And he's actually been enjoying it. So that's been kind of fun to rewatch it. Blade Runner 2049. I'll be seeing it in about 8 hours. I'm pretty excited about that. And later this month, I get to buy my new computer and new mic and all that fun stuff. So I've been shopping.
Yay, it's all about upgrades. Nerd stuff.
Oh God, I've needed it. The last several years, I've bought shitty computers, not really shitty computers, but like not the best option to just get by and be like, oh, I'll upgrade it. No, not doing that this time. I'm buying the machine that's going to last me 3 years minimum. That's where I'm at. And then I also just want to remind everybody, I'm moving right into our, you know, how we continue to do the fun stuff that we do. Ember and I absolutely love doing this podcast. We love having guests on. We love all the fun stuff. So make sure to support us. If you'd like to help us continue to do what we do, you can do that at patreon.com/griddles. Thank you to all of our patrons. Your feedback is always welcome. We love the garbage out of you guys. We love the notes you send us, all of it. Any content suggestions, any topic ideas, we always go to our patrons first. So become a patron today, patreon.com/griddles. And in case you don't have a few dimes to throw around, Ember, how can everybody else help us?
It really, really does help us stay on the charts and help other people find us. So if you're enjoying us for free, you can just go to iTunes and leave a review, leave some stars, and it helps our rankings. Leave your thoughts on what we do here so that other people can, you know, decide if they want to give us a listen.
I love it. And where can the people find you on the interwebs?
They can find me at BioImportance. They can also find the Polyhedron podcast at PolyhedronCast. You can also find us at Polyhedron on all the like iTunes, Stitcher, all the podcatchers. You can find us. But before we get out of here, I need to plug one thing that I should have talked about earlier that I think would interest you and your audience. Is my wife and a couple of my female friends also have a female-centric podcast about role-playing called Glitter Dice. And I promised them that I would pitch their show on here. And
awesome.
I wanted to make sure you guys got exposure and got exposure to you guys. So head on over to glitterdice.com or just look up Glitter Dice on all your podcatchers. They are also a female-centric podcast that deals specifically with women in gaming. So if you are interested in that topic, you want to sort of commiserate with them and share stories and talk about the things you love too. Go over there. Check them out.
I love it. I love it.
I'm pretty sure I have some glitter dice.
Oh my gosh.
So I can be reached at 9of12. That's NINEOF12 on Twitter and Twitch. And you can hear me on the Part Time Gamers podcast.
And I'm The Jen. You can find me at The Jen Says on Twitter and streaming at twitch.tv/TheJenPlays. So thanks for listening, everyone, and good game.
GG.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Yay, GG.
Go where your fun is.
Well, welcome.
If you enjoyed the show and have the cool skill to shriek speech, leave us a 5-star unique critique on iTunes or thrill us with the size of your head. At patreon.com/grills. We can also be found windmilling on Facebook and YouTube at facebook.com/geekgrills and youtube.com/geekgrills, where we like to chill. Tweet your sovereign songs where the throngs belong on Twitter at geekgrills, where we're dressed to kill. For more info on the show, though, go to geekgrills.com, where you can find previous episodes, show notes, and current